known Derek for 11 years.
Yeah.
About then. So we both, Derek has been, he was raised up in Prairie Avenue, which is one of our family churches in Coeur d'Alene. And it's been awesome getting to know him over the 11 years. Mm-hmm. His family has been a huge blessing to us personally. Mm-hmm. It's been fun watching his daughter and sons grow up.
Yeah.
And currently part-time at PACC.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you an elder yet?
No, not an elder.
He just does elderly type stuff.
Every time Lee sees me, he's like, "Are you an elder yet?" I'm like, Lee, stop it.
About 4 years ago, we had, I know it's longer than I wanted to do, but 4 years ago, we had Terry came to the church and really shared about grace. And it's amazing to watch the impact that it had on Derek's life personally. Mm-hmm. Growing up in a very legalistic church, growing up in a very legalistic household in a sense, seeing him free, mm-hmm. and really get the idea of what God's grace is about. And then he became the evangelist, which in a lot of ways changed Prairie Avenue, evangelist for grace,
sure.
and impacted many lives, and it's been great. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and I was going to do an introduction of that and just kind of share who I was, but this is my wife, Connie. We've been married 17 years, and it gets better every day. It's been awesome. We've got the four kids. Isaiah's 17, Abby's 15, Joel and Carrie. Joel was the one that we were working with during the worship the whole time. And then Carrie's our youngest. He's 10. So we've been married 17 years. Been at Prairie Avenue Christian Centers for 35 years. No, not 35, 33 years. I have been. And then Connie came, met
16.
Her kind of there via mutual friend, got married. We were really young and started having kids right away.
Of course. No, this is being recorded, right?
It's okay. It's all right. What I felt like God was putting on my heart was something I've actually been thinking about for probably 3 months, 4 months or so. We went to a Northwest leaders meeting over in Tacoma with John, and our pastor Dave, and then a bunch of other leaders from the New Frontiers churches in the Northwest. And our leader there, he said, he was kind of talking about leadership, but he said, there's one thing that trumps everything. And he said, it's the cause. It's the cause. Or another word for it would be, what's the mission? You know, what is our mission? So what's the cause? And so he began to just kind of talk about, you know, when you all have that same mutual cause, you can not get along sometimes, or you can start new. And if everybody has that same common cause or mission, you can accomplish anything. And he said, sometimes you have issues that come up, but the cause trumps everything. And I've been really thinking about that. And want to just kind of share with you some of my thoughts on that. And hopefully God speaks to your heart as he's spoken to mine. So let's just pray real quick. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love and grace towards us, God, that as Donald was saying, you do change our lives, God. You redeem us, you reconcile us, you take us out of the place where we were and put us in new paths and in an adventure, so to speak. God, we just thank you for giving us grace when we deserve something far different. God, we praise you. We thank you. We just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, reveal things to our minds that we may not have thought about before. God, we just ask that you would do a work in our hearts and in our lives. God, we praise you and know that you're with us. Amen. All right, so to start with, you have to look at, if you're looking at what Jesus commanded us, sorry, this is my clipboard. I'm going to drop some plays here in a little bit. But no, if you look at Matthew 18, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus says to them, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink any poisonous, that's what it says. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So here's the mission, here's the cause, to preach the gospel, or the good news. That's the commission, that's the mission. And the mission within that is to make disciples. And making disciples, I think that you have, like everybody I think that was raised in church or goes to church, even different churches, different denominations, all kind of have their own thoughts of what it means to be a disciple or make a disciple. And I think, I'll just share what I think, and then if other people have other ideas, that's totally fine. But I think a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, someone who hears and obeys. That's it. That's what a disciple is, simply put. It's just someone who follows Jesus. You could go farther and say, could someone follow Jesus with half their heart or with all their heart? I think Jesus, when he comes in and so radically changes our lives, we can't help but to follow him with all of our hearts. So when we're making disciples and we're teaching people to hear and obey, what are we teaching them? How are we teaching them to hear and obey God? Is it just by hearing some mystical inner voice or something? Well, Jesus said he would send his Holy Spirit to us and give us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always convicting our hearts, speaking through our hearts. He's also using the Word of God to show us things. So it's like sometimes we just get caught up in, what am I trying to think? We get caught up into, like, you have to do this, this, and this to be a disciple. Mm-hmm. Where when you come back to the point where it's just like you hear and obey. So it's like, and you obey what you know. So if you know that you shouldn't go murder somebody, then you probably should obey that and not disobey it, you know? And so I think that's a good example, because it's like most of us wouldn't murder even if we were Christians or not Christians. But it's something that someone who is in jail may not know that, may not know that, you know what, I am completely justified in murdering my wife and her lover because I'm justified. They were cheating on me and I should kill them. I should murder them. For them to hear, you shall not murder, is like, that's probably something that would be maybe a revelation. And so to walk through them that with that whole process of letting the Holy Spirit convict their hearts and teaching them to follow him is something that God has mandated for us to do. He also told us to preach the good news to everyone. And the good news, simply put, is Jesus. That's it. Jesus is good news. And so I kind of wrote out like a kind of a timeline for what the good news is. God created mankind. Mankind rejected God. But God pursued mankind. And God gave them a standard. But mankind rejected God's standard. But God still pursues mankind by coming to the earth to satisfy the justice of that standard and dying in our place. Jesus shares his inheritance with us by giving us the Holy Spirit, but not just to the followers of Jesus. He's at work among even the people in this city. He's at work around the world by pouring out his Holy Spirit on everyone and drawing people to himself. So the good news, it isn't just, Josh, you have to go and out on the corner of San Jose and the craziest spot in town and get up on a soapbox and proclaim Jesus. The Holy Spirit's at work in San Jose. This Holy Spirit's at work in Spokane, in Post Falls, in Coeur d'Alene, and all across the world. He's at work. So he's already drawing people to himself. So how do we, having wisdom, to recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing, to being good evangelists, quote unquote, or missionaries in our cities, to where we can reach people for Jesus? This little community here in Spokane called Grace Church is one of the best ways to love the city, serve the city, and be a mission to the city, because you have each other. It might be small, but you have each other to reach the city together. That is, and it's actually an amazing mystery, because sometimes there's going to be people that come here, and they're like, I just hope Susie doesn't come because she's annoying. Our personalities don't click. But God uses small communities like this to reach a city and to change a city. And by his will and by his grace, this small community will grow into a bigger community branch and go into other communities. That's the heart of Jesus, is to reach as many people as he's drawing as possible. So, for instance, a story that we have in our church, there's this guy that's been coming to our church that's been out of jail for about a year. One of the guys is a chaplain from our church in the jail. It's had just kind of started ministering to him. Well, when he got out of jail, he came to church. And we welcomed him in and made him a part of our family. He started asking, well, where can I serve? How can I serve? And so we kind of plugged him into some areas like what Hannah was doing, you know, with the slides, pressing the button on the slides. He helps me make coffee in the mornings and all these kinds of things. Well, he's also part of a small group, the same small group where the chaplain was part of. And as we've been kind of putting in our structure, strategy for making disciples in our church, I was talking with the leader and said, is there anyone that you might consider as being a leader if we branch your group? And he said, well, yeah, this guy. He mentioned this guy's name. So this guy was in jail a year ago, didn't know God. And the grace of God is so transforming his life, but not just his life, all of our lives as well. The leader's life, to begin to recognize this guy could be a leader. So he's going from not knowing Christ to being a potential leader, to where he can then in turn make disciples. And that's the teamwork that God wants to use in the church. So the leader brought his gifting and brought this guy in. I kind of came in and helped out, and then this guy is able to be discipled into, the potential is for him to not go off the rails back to jail and sell meth again, but to be making disciples, people following Jesus. That's the goal, and that is like super exciting. Yeah. I mean, that's really what we want to see, right? That is the mission. That's the cause. And so to get caught up in it, it's pretty exciting. Because for me, it wasn't like intentional, but it was just like, this is great. And so for you guys here in Spokane, you have an amazing opportunity to begin to love the city, serve the city, and to see people that don't know Christ come in to your church and become leaders in your church and make disciples. So I want to read a scripture.
Are you sure?
No. Okay. It's in Ephesians 3, 1 through 11. And if you have a different translation, it might read a little bit differently. I have the New Living Translation here. So it starts off with, when I think of all this. So is what Paul is thinking about, is Paul is thinking about what I've been kind of describing to you as far as going into a city, making disciples, and people coming to know Christ, people leading others to Christ. And so he says this. He says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. Assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's interesting when you compare what was before Jesus came and then what's after. What was before Jesus came was God sent his presence to a tabernacle or a tent, and he dwelt in there. He dwelt kind of in this place called the Holy of Holies. It was pretty glorious. One guy a year would be able to go in and see it. And then God came down and went up to heaven and said, it's going to be better for all of you that I go. And here's the plan, that he saves as many people, and then his presence resides in all of us. That he would say, not only do I call you my sons, not only do I call you the church or some other thing, but I'm gonna call you brothers. In Colossians it says we're co-heirs with Christ. That literally means that we are Jesus' brothers, that we share in the same inheritance that Jesus has, which is actually beyond imagination, because he's God. And he sits down at the right hand of the Father. And so as we go on mission in our cities and in our workplaces and those kinds of things, that he hasn't left us alone, that the Holy Spirit is with us, and that he's actually preparing other people's hearts, that sometimes we don't even have to preach the gospel, we can just live the gospel and people will be drawn to that. So a story for me would be, we went to a leadership conference about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago now. It was in St. Louis, Missouri, and a guy from Texas was preaching there. And he gets up and he pretty much gave an explanation of what the church should be. So I'd like to show you guys that on my sweet whiteboard. So I'd like to show you traditionally what the church kind of looks like. Okay, so what you have right here is you have society. So I'll put an S. Okay, so the S is for society. So in society, like we'll take Spokane. So the S is for the society in Spokane. In Spokane, you have, over here you have the university, all the people in university. So from there you have Gonzaga, Whitworth, Spokane Falls, some different things. And then you also have... You have some farmers on the outskirts a little bit. Then you also have what you're in is the computer industry. You also have the medical district. You have Northtown Mall, and then you have another mall, and that's a society all in itself, right? I mean, you've got the valley people that like to go in there and talk totally.
That's why Stephanie doesn't go to the
middle. Right. And sometimes those people migrate up to Northtown, right? Okay. So that's a society. So then you have all these different kind of like subculture groups within this. And then also you have a Russian community, which I have a roofer friend who's a Russian, and I get phone calls from him, can you come give me a bid? And so I'll go do a bid for some siding, and most of the people he's referring me to are these Russian people. So the Russians here in Spokane have their own directory of businesses that they all call only the Russians, because they stay within their own subculture here. So you have all these things, and then you have this one right here that is so glorious right here. This one right here is called the church. But see, the problem is that Stephanie may be here, and she goes through society over to the church and stays in the church. And so all these people from these different parts of the society move into this subculture called the church. You know, we have our own schools. We have our own schools. We have our own music. We have all these things that are all just kind of like our own little subculture, right? So this is what this guy began to explain to us, and it revolutionized my thinking, because being in the church, it was really super great and awesome because all your friends are there. But is what I began to realize is that even though I'm in this construction part of society, I didn't have any church relationships in this subculture group. And so he began to say, well, if you're an artist, you need to be the church with artists. You need to begin to meet with other artists that don't know Jesus and start a church. Because a church, Jesus said, where there's two or three people, I'm there with you. That's a church. So it's great to be able to build something bigger to where you can reach more people or serve the city a little bit easier because there's more talents and gifting and graces. But here's the challenge that this guy brought to us was, are you being the church or a missionary in your subculture group? And it was super challenging to me because it was really easy to drive into Spokane, do my sighting, do the decks, and then go home and not ever meet anyone in the culture, not talk to the Mexican guys on the job site, not talk to the Russian guys, not talk to the American guys, and just go and do this thing called church. And so I began to ask God, how do we reach our community? Because I wanted to reach my community in Post Falls. And Post Falls, the demographic of Post Falls, there's some poor people there. There's some, but mainly the demographic is families. People want a safe place to raise their families. And so that's what it is. That's the culture. It's like, it's suburbia. And the suburbia is one of the hardest places to reach for Jesus. Because people take their kids to sports, and then they go home, and then they stay in their homes. And so it's very difficult to break in. And so I just really felt like God had given me a strategy to begin to serve the Post Falls Little League, because I love to coach. See, I coach basketball, so that's why I have this whiteboard. But it's like, I love to coach. So if it's basketball, if it's football, if it's baseball, I want to serve the community. But not just serve the community, I want to be missional as well. That the relationships that are built there, I want to build church in this culture. So for instance, we have a friend, I was coaching football, we had a mutual friend that died, and he died kind of suddenly. He's a 40-year-old guy, died suddenly, and it was like, because I had a relationship with these guys, it was an in. I had an in with them. And now, I mean, they say that I'm like his best friend. I don't hang out with him all the time, but it's like, I'm his friend. He's still not a Christian. He's still coming to Christ. The Holy Spirit is still drawing him. He was an atheist and didn't believe there was any God at all. He was raised in a pagan home and in a scientistic kind of background. So he believed that everything came from this explosion. And eventually made its way here. And so, but it's like, all I want to do with him is live the gospel. I don't want to debate with him on creation or evolution, because those things, they can actually deter from the gospel, because we want to be missionaries. And so that's that. That's what I wanted to kind of show you guys. And I know John would agree with that model, because he told me that he was at the same conference, and it really, really ministered to him as well. That's why he's doing the guitar thing after school, because he wants to be in the schools. He wants to be in the community. He wants to serve the community.
That's good.
Well, I think I want to wrap up with one more scripture. And it's in Philippians 2, verse 1 through 15. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And so to kind of draw to conclusion, as we live the gospel, the good news, the grace of God, that we can't forget where we came from. Because it says we live among a crooked and perverse people. Well, aren't we all? I mean, really, how many of us have been Christians for a long time, been sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and have, you know, some good morals? It's like, yeah, some of us have. The only reason we shine like lights in the city is because Jesus, because of the work he's done, and he's still doing. Because there's actually a lot of people out there that are better than us, morality-wise. And they're not crooked or perverse. Their lives may seem really straight. And so it's like, for us, how do we, as believers in Jesus, can we share what he's done with us? By living innocent lives, but also by telling people the grace of God. But not just that, but living it as well. By having compassion, by having tender, by being humble and laying our lives down. I spend a lot of hours behind the scenes working in Post Falls Little League. And sometimes it goes unnoticed. But it's like, I'm serving the city. And some people do recognize, and they go, well, why do you do that? It's not just, I'm just doing it for the kids. Well, I'm doing it because I want to be a good missionary. And so whether you're in San Jose, or whether you're in Spokane, or wherever you're at, you can be a missionary. You don't have to necessarily be a part of a church, because you are the church. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so if you are the church, it's great to have people around you that have the same common mission and values. Like it said there in Philippians, it said, have the same mind and mm-hmm. purpose. So the mind and purpose that I would encourage you guys to have would be the mission. To make disciples, to tell people good news by living your life, and then when you have the guts and courage, because I normally don't, to proclaim it. It's easy in a setting like this, it's easy to, but it's like when I'm out on the street, it's like I would rather just show it, not proclaim it. And so it's like, find people around you. Like, I have a friend named Dave Hoyt who does a very good job of proclaiming it. So I can live it. And so it's like with my friend, the atheist guy, we're kind of mutual friends with Dave Hoyt. And so I just live my life, you know, shining as much as Jesus will shine through. And so I just hang out with this guy as often as possible. And so Dave knows him because we just kind of circles, kind of, you know, overlap. And Dave just preached to him the gospel, said, dude, what's the deal? Are you gonna follow Jesus or what? And just took that boldness. And it was like, this guy was like, well, But because we have relationship, he was like, oh, you didn't tell us off, you crazy Christians. Right. He actually was like receptive because he'd seen good news. And so it's like, that's why it's like, as a we can work as a team to love and serve the city, serve the people of the city. Yeah, I believe that God wants to give you guys here at Grace Church a strategy as well as to how to reach the city and reach the people of the city. Mm-hmm. Because that church that Paul's describing in Ephesians, like Ephesus was a huge hub of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And there were barbarians there. There were Germans, and there were Arabs and Jews and all kinds of crazy people that didn't get along, but they were all one church. He gives reference to it like, all of you people that don't get along are now one body. And it's only because of the grace of God. So here in Spokane, you look at, did I erase it already? You look at all these things. You look at all these things. There's still the shadow of it. Like, there's Russians. There's Middle Easterns. There's the university campuses that have people that come in. There's all these kinds of areas that God wants to use you guys to reach them somehow, some way. But he'll give you boldness, courage, and wisdom in how to reach those people. But also to work around, to work together to make it happen. So.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the prophetic word that was given to New Frontiers years ago, which then ended up forming who we are as a church, was you can do more together than you can apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, us in this church can support and build and encourage each other to go out and do things. We're partnering with things with PCC, mm-hmm. whereas we can impact the community. You know, they've offered to help serve us at one of the local schools if we wanted to do evangelism outreach stuff, just by bringing people in and allowing us to do that. And that's the beauty of being together on mission, mm-hmm. is, you know, you could go out and do something by yourself, or as a church, we mm-hmm. can serve, and we can serve together, and each part kind of fills a need and builds each other's up into, mm-hmm. and that's the beauty of church. When church is really done well, it's serving each other mm-hmm. and serving the needs of the city. And you can do more together than you can apart.
Yeah, and you know, it's like we're part of a global family of churches that are really making an impact across the world. And so it's like we want to be the best that we can be and strive to reach as many people for Jesus as possible. Yeah. So I'll just pray real quick and kind of wrap things up. And
sure.
Father God, we praise you and adore you and thank you for sending Jesus to save us. Mm-hmm. God, we don't know where we would be without you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we thank you for saving us. God, this mandate that you've given us to go into all the nations, make disciples and all that can be really overwhelming. God, we just ask that you would give us peace and take away anxiety and give each one of us a specific thing that we can do to extend your kingdom. God, we just ask that it wouldn't just be, God, sometimes when you look at the whole world, it's overwhelming, but God, we just ask that you would simply give us just that one small thing that we could be faithful in to being a missionary in our communities. God, we just ask that as we go from here, Lord, you would encourage us and strengthen us, and that you would give us great grace, give us we just ask that you would deepen our hearts for compassion for the world, for the lost, for those around us who are hurting. God, we just ask that you would just help us to be like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.